Hello, Sam Edmund and Campbell Brown, though, because Gaz and Tim are taking a little break. Great pleasure to have Campbell Brown in the studio as well. We've been talking about the trade period, the AFL trade period. The frenzy is over. It's too long for some, not long enough for others. A lot of deals left on the table, a lot of deals done, a lot of deals rumoured, Brownie, as well. Nothing to do with the players. This is the nature of the beast. Now, one of those players who was, I would say, unwittingly dragged into talks, I think it'd be fair to say, he's over the other side of the world at the moment. In fact, he's in Denver. It's fantastic to have his company. Thanks for joining us, Mason Cox.
Yeah, thanks for having me, boys.
What are you doing over there, Mason?
Oh, just gallivanting around the United States. I've got a cousin's wedding this weekend out in Denver, so I'm just walked off to the Rocky Mountain area. Just going to go for a few hikes and stuff before Saturday for the wedding and just enjoy a bit of nature.
So where have we got you as we speak? Are you on top of some peak somewhere? Well, good signal.
Oh, no, I'm in a parking lot of this little town in Estes National Park, just north of Denver. So I've rolled out to this little town, so I get a little bit of service, a few bars, and we have a little chat with you boys.
What was your makings of the trade period? You would have all of a sudden woken up one morning and your name was getting thrown around, not just to any club, but to your arch rival in Essendon.
Yeah, it was interesting. I woke up and spent the day on the beach and was really relaxed and everything else and started getting messages saying I was going to Essendon. So, yeah, it's quite interesting. My first kind of time, I guess, being tossed into the trade part of everything. And, it's a bit of, a bit of misreading, I think, from some people and misreporting, all that kind of stuff, which happens with the nature of the beast. But, it is what it is. I'm happy I'm still staying at Collingwood and nothing changes for me. We just keep moving on.
But being an American and growing up over in the States where this sort of stuff happens quite regularly, did that hold you in pretty good stead mentally?
Oh, yeah, I think at the end of the day, we're all probably, I hate to say it, but pawns in a bigger game of chess. And, it is what it is. And clubs got to make decisions, you know, to make salaries happen and everything else, and conversations will be had between different clubs and everything else without your, I guess, approval or whatever it is. But at the end of the day, like, it's a business, and you got to do what's best for yourself, and the clubs got to do what's best for themselves. And unfortunately, sometimes those two don't align.
Mason, we won't bang on about it all morning, of course, but how did it end with you? Obviously, there was a bit of conjecture over whether talks happened or not, and then your manager, Adam Ramanauskas, said, look, there were some discussions between the two clubs, but it never really went any further than that preliminary stage. How was it left with you ultimately? Because you contracted, of course, you got one more year to run at Collingwood.
Yeah, certainly your contract, and I think what happened was AFL put out on like Twitter or something saying that I was personally talking to Essendon, which just never happened. So I was never contacted from anyone from that club, and whether or not the clubs are having conversations, that's something that probably happens on a daily basis with every single player on the list almost. So I was totally ignorant to it. But, I was never personally contacted by Essendon or ever seeked out any kind of trade or anything on my half. So I was just kind of left in the dark of the whole thing, wondering what was going on. But at the end of the day, we figured it out and got everyone on the same page. And, the agent earned a dollar that day and figured it all out.
Mason, getting away from the trade period stuff, how's the body? You missed the back end of this year with that nasty eye injury to your retina. How's your sight coming along?
Yeah, it was tough going for about a month and a half, 2 months, and I was pretty much legally blind for a while. And we've got to the point now, we're almost back to 2020. Still on a lot of medications and everything else, but it's been fortunate enough now to be able to get back to see family, travel, get an airplane again, which is really good, and be able to drive and get a bit of independence. I think for a long time it was just sitting in a dark room staring at the ceiling and not much going on in my life, and it's about 45 minutes of every hour I had to spin on my back, so I couldn't really get out and about or do much. And it's nice to see the light at the end of the tunnel now, and we're getting to the point now where I can start properly working out and everything else. Hopefully whenever preseason day one comes around, we'll be able to do contact.
Were there any brief moments there where you thought that your vision might not come back?
After every surgery, pretty much, you'd wake up and your eyes would be swollen shut, and you go, the doctor did well. Just wait for those 30 minutes until he got back in and told you how the surgery went. But I was fortunate enough, I had a great doctor, and he's been really checking up on me and making sure everything's gone smoothly. And it would just take those 2 or 3 days to start getting vision out of the eyes again. But like I said, after waking up after anesthetics and not being able to see anything and just putting full faith in the doctor's hands is a bit of a scary moment at times.
Just seen your last Instagram post, you're playing Top Golf over there. Not hitting them that well. Are you sure your vision's completely back, mate?
Look, I can hit the ball, but I've got no idea where it is. That's the problem. But I've got a little tracker on the ball that says, oh, wait, this way, this miles an hour, and all that kind of stuff. I'll just trust that thing.
Fantastic. Hey, Mason, when you said you were legally blind, though, so were you able to get around? Are you able to drive a vehicle and all that sort of stuff?
No, I couldn't drive for about a month and a half. So I started off, it was 2 weeks of 45 minutes of every hour on my back, and then that week after that, I got another surgery. I had three surgeries, two on one arm and one on the other. And then, I eventually kind of got the independence to be able to go on one walk a day and then three walks a day. And then from there, once I kind of gained eyesight in both my eyes, the doctor said, yeah, if you feel comfortable enough, you can start driving again, which, like I said, it's one of those things, whenever you take it for granted every day until you lose it, and you realize how valuable it is and how much you actually use it every single day. And it was tough going for a while, but we've come out the back end of it. We're doing a lot better.
Fantastic. You think Brownie's someone of Mason's size, the eyes would be the last thing you'd have to worry about. How do you get up that eye to poke him? That's incredible. And Mason, now you're heading back home, quote unquote, to Texas for a bit of time?
Yeah, it's so on Sunday I'm actually headed back to Dallas. So I've been gallivanting around the state and haven't really even been home yet. But I'm headed back to Dallas and we got a pretty cool experience coming up. I'm actually, Nathan Buckley's going to meet me out in Dallas and we're going to go to the Dallas Cowboys game. So we've been linked up with NFL Australia and asked him to take over the social account for the day. Social's on Instagram and Twitter and just document the whole experience. So we're fortunate enough that they're going to hook us up with some sideline passes and really good seats and everything else, and the full surveying and the whole experience.
So you're obviously a Cowboys
pretty excited
fan.
To get down there. Being from Dallas, you don't really have a choice, to be honest. It's America's team, but if you support anyone else besides Dallas and you live there, you're gonna have a tough time. But they actually play their arch rivals in the Eagles on Sunday night, so it'll be one of the biggest games of the year, which will be, I think, Monday around noon, I want to say, in Australia time. So it'll be a massive game. The stadium's one of the biggest in the world. It's a pretty impressive place. And I'm pretty excited to get back and see my first Cowboys game in a while.
They need to bounce back too. They were surprised. They lost last week over in New York, didn't they? So pressure will be on Prescott and Zeke Elliott and the boys.
Yeah, they lost to the they just got their first win of the season on us last week. So that was not a great outing for us, but hopefully it'll be a big, like I said, it'll be a massive game. So hopefully we can get back on the track, get a bit of confidence going into the rest of the season. And it's going to be a great experience. I think just for myself being back home and being able to show back, I guess, somewhat of my hometown where I've grown up and everything else, will be pretty cool.
That's going to be fantastic. And just as well, Mason, you didn't get traded. Could have been pretty awkward at the game next to the main man, the coach.
You say that. He gave me a call, actually. I think the day that all that stuff came out, he was like, look, let's just be cool with this. Fuck, we're still going to go to Dallas. It's all good. I was like, no. I tell him what's going on. You tell me. So it was quite an interesting couple of days going back and forth between them.
I reckon it's his shout, mate, so hit him up early when he gets over there. He's round first up, no doubt about that. Mate, best of luck. Enjoy the break. Glad to hear the eye and the injuries are coming along and look forward to seeing you prosper in pre-season and rip into a big 2020.
Yeah, thanks, boys. I appreciate it. Should be good fun and, definitely looking forward to getting back to training.
Cheers, Mason.
Fantastic here from Mason Cox over there, one of the good guys in the game.
Absolutely, and they missed him late in the year.
They did.
You just need to think, if he was playing, they might have got through. They would have got through.
And isn't it funny, September time, they still dredge up those highlights of him running amok.
They will forever. I've never been to a game where the USA chant was just coming out from the Australian public. It was
one of the great moments, wasn't it?
Yeah.
For shock value.
I love preliminary final week often, not more than grand final week, but someone lifts their side over the line. And this year it was Tom Lynch.
Yep.
Last year it was Mason Cox. There's always those great stories that you think, well, they helped them get there.
And that is good. I mean, that gets back to the connection. We do bang on a little bit about it between the coach and his players. Like, for Bucks to fly all the way over there, get shown around where Mason grew up, where he's from. As we said, that might have been a little bit awkward if he just punted him to Essendon. But that didn't happen and was never going to happen. So great news all around. All right, we'll have a little spell. We'll wrap up the hour. Actually, it's coffee o'clock, Brownie. I'm going over to the McCafe to grab a little caffeine hit, and then we'll wrap up the hour after this.